Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll begin our service with the opening hymn, printed in the blue order of service, which you will find in your hymnals. Please stand in body or spirit. Fellowship of Winona. My name is Laura Armstrong. I've been a Unitarian my whole life, and I've been a member of this fellowship since 2001 with my family, Jim and Pippa and Dot, who's in college now. If you are new to our Sunday fellowship, we especially welcome you. We hope you enjoy the service and find yourself challenged and supported for your work in the world. We invite you to stay for coffee and conversation after the service. Are there any introductions by our greeter or any who would like to introduce themselves?
We'd really welcome Carol and her new knees back to our service. So, yeah.
Welcome. We have several announcements this morning. The K through 4 RE classes are in need of volunteers for this last stretch of spring. Curriculum and supplies are provided for you. Please contact Tove if you can help, or you can sign up on the link provided in the emailed announcements, and those will go out in the announcements that Jan sends. Also, if you are interested in having your child dedicated this spring at the Hope Service, which is coming up in May, please contact Tove at the email address that you'll see in the announcements. And what that basically means is that you are inviting your child to participate in a little ceremony officially recognizing him or her, not as a member, because we think that happens later, but as someone who is part of our community officially. I also invite you to remember that every week on this bulletin board are posted numerous exciting events, one of which is coming up just next week and involves beautiful singing by people who come here every Sunday, so check it out. The board still needs one more person to replace the board members who are cycling off. The board meets once a month, to steer the business of our fellowship. Terms are for 2 years. If you are interested, talk to any of the current board members or to Jan Taylor. Could I get any board members who are present at this moment to raise your hands so that people know to whom they could speak? Okay, so today, Deb or Paul, talk to them, and they'll twist your arm nice and hard. Also, the annual conference of UU Mid-America Region, which was formerly the Prairie Star District, is next weekend, April 11 through 13. Some of the events will be available online. Jan will provide links and schedule information with the Sunday announcements. And there's a whole page that you could look at. I'll post it on the board that you could check it out. Next week, and everybody really pay attention now, this is the most important announcement I'm going to give today. Next week is the annual meeting, and you know what that means. That means that we need you to come, even if it's sunny out. Even if you want to rake leaves, even if you want to sleep in and just eat a scone, you need to be here because we need you, okay? Did you write that down? Okay, and also childcare will be provided, so you have no excuse not to come.
Is it following the service?
It is the service. We have just our very brief, up to and including the joys and concerns. It's so important, we don't even have a children's story that day. Yeah. But we try to keep it short and sweet so that it fits into that same time slot. Yes. Today's service involves some of our youth who will be speaking, answering the question, who has been wise? At this time, We will affirm our community by saying together the chalice reading as printed in your blue order of service. And Pippa will light the chalice today. We have come together today. Now is the time to make this our place. We are Unitarian Universalists. We light this chalice. It is our symbol. It represents all of the important things which make us who we are and which hold us together. Let us create our space together and make for ourselves a safe place to grow and learn and to be fully who we are. I'd like to place a shell in the water today for our Unitarian Universalist principle number 4, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And now let's stand together and sing. This is a challenging but delightful hymn, and Nancy is our leader. Whoop.
I thought we were going to put shells.
I guess then we'll do that first. Okay. It's been a while since I've been the coordinator. All right, so we invite you now to place a shell in the water in celebration of or in concern for a person or an event in your life that we may share in your joy or give you comfort in your sorrow.
On Tuesday, Chris returns to work, so our adventure in open heart surgery is coming to a close. So I'm Carol. I got a new knee on March 12th. Very happy to be home. Very, very happy to be home. So there's one. It's been a big month for me. Charlotte May was born in February. She is my grandniece. And my mother entered hospice services about a month ago. She is dying of cancer. And so far has been able to stay on the farm.
This is a shell for our friend Lalit Gupta, who had a heart attack this week, but he is now at home resting comfortably after they cleaned out one of his arteries. It was 100% occluded. Oh my God! Anyway, we're just glad he's still here. And this is a friend of ours. Yeah, for many years. His name is Lalit Gupta. And this is another shell for my dear darling husband Kevin. 29 years ago today we were married.
I know, I was just a baby.
Against child brides or something. This is for Warren Kantak. I just saw in the paper today that he died March 24th, and I've known him over the years. He was afflicted with cerebral palsy, walked very awkwardly, but was someone who I'm sure people, if they just saw him, would dismiss. But I think he was almost like the incarnation of Jesus. He really cared about everybody. He cooked for people who needed food. He had some land up in the hills somewhere, would try to raise a variety of animals and that, which sometimes got him into conflict with the law or something. But he just was a very, very special person, and I was sad to see that he died.
Well, yesterday, my son Andrew and I went with the art department on a tour up to Minneapolis. We saw 4 museums, including the wonderful Matisse exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum. And it's as close to a religious experience as I have.
Was it for? Oh, okay. Go ahead. This is for our neighbor Susie Briggs. And Susie just got back from the hospital yesterday. And they had taken a lot of internal organs out of her, so she's doing better, but she's back home, so we were very glad that she got home. Put that in. There you go.
I'm going to put a shell in for three girls at the senior high who were involved in a car accident last week. And I've had all three of them in my classroom, and they're all really good friends. They're all on the golf team together. So two of them are home now. One is in very bad shape. So I'm just sort of hoping she is going to be okay. We will now take a moment of silence for these joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken. And now we will sing. It's hymn number 339. And its service to the larger world through our generous gifts as we pass the offertory baskets. If you are giving a portion of your pledge, please be sure to note that. And now if the children will come forward, it's time for the children's story. She's got the whole world in her hand. Uh-huh. Oh, that's a lot of children right there. Who remembers Little Bear? We love him. Yes. And this story is called Little Bear Goes to the Moon. Who wants to go there? Yeah. Do you see what he's got in his head? He made a space helmet. I have a new space helmet. I am going to the moon, said Little Bear to Mother Bear. How? Asked Mother Bear. I'm going to fly to the moon, said Little Bear. Fly? Said Mother Bear. You can't fly. Birds fly, said Little Bear. Oh, yes, said Mother Bear. Birds fly, but they don't fly to the moon. And you are not a bird. Maybe some birds fly to the moon. I don't know. And maybe I can fly like a bird, said Little Bear. And maybe, said Mother Bear, you are a little fat bear cub with no wings and no feathers. Maybe if you jump up, you will come down very fast with a big plop. Maybe, said Little Bear, but I'm going now. Just look for me up in the sky. Be back for lunch, said Mother Bear. Little Bear thought, I will jump from a good high spot far up in the sky and fly up, up, up. I will be going too fast to look at things, so I will shut my eyes. Little Bear climbed to the top of a little hill and climbed to the top of a little tree, a very little tree on the little hill, and shut his eyes and jumped. Down, down he came with a big plop, and down the hill he tumbled. Then he sat up and looked around. My, my, he said, here I am on the moon. The moon looks just like the earth. Well, well, said Little Bear, the trees here look just like our trees. The birds look just like our birds. And look at this, he said, here is a house that looks just like my house. I'll go in and see what kind of bears live here. Look at that, said Little Bear. Something to eat is on the table. It looks like a good lunch for a little bear. Mother Bear came in and said, but who is this? Are you a bear from Earth? Oh, yes, I am, said Little Bear. I climbed a little hill and I jumped from a little tree and flew here just like the birds. Well, said Mother Bear, my little bear did the same thing. He put on his space helmet and flew to Earth. So I guess you can have his lunch. Little Bear put his arms around Mother Bear. He said, Mother Bear, stop fooling. You are my Mother Bear, and I am your little bear, and we are on Earth, and you know it. Now, may I eat my lunch? Yes, said Mother Bear. And then you will have your nap, for you are my little bear, and I know it. And now we will sing the children out. I was pretty miserable. I got teased a lot. I got teased for my curly hair, and I got teased for my name, which was Curl, C-U-R-L. I got teased for the clothes I wore because I had hiking boots and a down parka, and girls didn't wear those. I got teased because I read books on the bus, and because I used big words when I spoke. And I really got teased for my grades. I got a lot of the ones that looked like this, and that was not cool. And I would come home, and I would be miserable, and my dad would say, you know, tall trees endure the strongest winds. And I'd go, oh, so that makes me a tree. And I lived on a 60-acre tree farm, so I could really see those big trees that stuck up above the other trees. And I thought, well, you know, logically, that makes sense. The tall trees stick out. No wonder they get all that wind. And my mom would say, in her public health nurse way, why do you care about what they think? And I would go, oh, I guess that doesn't make sense to think about if other people like my down parka. Years later, when I read the Transcendentalists, I realized my father was just quoting Emerson at me. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, famously, to be great is to be misunderstood. And he talks about people like Jesus and Socrates, right? They weren't understood. They were ostracized, even killed for what they believed. And I'm not putting myself in Jesus's place or developing a giant ego, but it just, that metaphor about being a tall tree helped me feel a little better about how horrible it was to be 13 and 14. Similarly, years later, I realized that when my mother said things like, why do you care what they think? She was showing sheer, practical, down-to-earth courage in simply choosing which attitude to have. And that wisdom from those two people has really helped me, even as I left that kind of hassle and that kind of suffering behind and endured other kinds of hassles. I still hang on to that wisdom. And those experiences of hearing wise words from wise people helped me become whom I am now. So today, we're going to hear from three young people who are still at the beginning of their life journey and who will share with us their answers to the question, who has been wise? And I really want to thank these three young ladies because they really stepped up. None of them really wants to be here speaking in front of you. So what we're going to do in reverse alphabetical order is I'll introduce each of them. Each one will come up and just speak to you briefly and then be seated. And then after all three of them have spoken, if you have questions for them, they've agreed to try to respond. So first, let's clap for them to relax them. And all three of them are ninth grade girls who attend Winona Senior High School. I haven't had any of them in my classroom yet, but I'm very excited to have them someday, I hope. And the first person who will speak to us is Emma Hitz-Kelly.
All right, so I did not think I'd be going first, so let me just start off with that. So we are going to talk about who is wise. And wise in itself is a very opinionated word, I feel like. So who I think is wise might not be who you think is wise, so just bear with me. If you did, by chance, look up wise in the dictionary, it says something about showing experience, knowledge, or good judgment. So who is wise? I could stand up here and I could talk about an author or an actress or some famous person who's done some amazing feat to mankind, but I feel like it wouldn't really count because I don't know them as well as I know my friend or my family. I haven't had a real conversation with them. I haven't been with them through good times and bad times. So therefore, how do I truly know their wisdom? So who better to talk about than my family? Obviously, my family could be much more wise because they have so many more experiences to come in their lives. So, first in my family, I was going to talk about my oldest brother, Isaac. When he came back from Chile, which, if you didn't know, he was in Chile for 4 months last summer, so that was really cool. But when he came back, he was just so different. He had grown from all the new experiences that he had had, and it was just really cool to listen to him talk about all these amazing memories that he's going to have forever. And then my other brother, Jesse, he can turn any tense situation and just instantly make it happy. It'll be like a sad time or people will be scared, and he can say two words and everybody will just feel better. I remember one time when my sister had a friend over and they were bickering about something and he comes over and he goes, ladies, sounds like you guys need couples therapy. And then, speaking of my sister Cody, she's a very fierce young girl, and she's so passionate about everything. It's really cool. But once you get past the tough exterior, she's a really creative and fun little girl. And if you gave her popsicle sticks, googly eyes, and fuzzy balls, she could make you a whole village of creatures. And it's so cool. And then my mother, Jacqueline, she spurts wisdom, like, in everything she says. And so it's really cool that when I have a problem, I'm always able to come to her for help. And it's a really comfortable feeling to have someone who's always there to help you. And lastly, my other mother, Marcy, she has a sense of freedom within her. When she is having a problem, she can just relax and say, you know what, I'm going to take a break. She always is able to come in contact with her inner child, and it's so cool that she's able to still do that. And I hope someday that I can do that too. So in the end, wisdom comes in very different shapes and form. And maybe someday, if only for an hour, I can be adventurous, silly, creative, helpful, free, and maybe even that much more wise.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Donna Bowler.
I don't think I can follow that as well, but I'll try. The person I chose to be wise is my Grandma Bowler. She is my dad's mom, and she grew up in St. Paul her whole life, and when she was 34, she moved to Edina, which was really hard for her going from a big city to just like a smaller area. And for my grandma, she never really cooked that much. So the saying for Edina people is, when you live in Edina, your favorite dinner is reservations. And it's true for them. The only meal I actually remember her making was whenever she babysat us, she made me and my sister salmon, which was really good. And then whenever we went out to dinner, if there was salmon on the menu, she'd always just say, "Hey, Katie, hey, Donna, there's salmon." So one of us would end up having to get it. She's really nice and funny, and she always listens. She's a person that remembers everything about you. And I was talking to her the other day, and she remembered something from when I was like 3 that I didn't even remember. And she's just curious whenever you're talking to her. And one of the best things I'll remember about her is that she's concerned about how she looks. She can't go anywhere without her red lipstick on. She always has to have it. She also taught me how to read baseball statistics when I was 7. And with my dad's side of the family, we're really like sports related. So she's the really sporty grandma and likes all the sports. Her favorite one's golf, but she had to give that up when she broke her arm. Whenever we go to sports, she always asks us to wave to the camera if we're on the big screen, just in case she sees us. My grandma is just someone that I'll always remember and is wise to me.
Thank you. And our third and final speaker is Pippa Armstrong.
Many people in my life have been wise, but I find that I've learned more from those who have not been wise, especially in the media, people like Kim Kardashian, Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, and so many unfortunate others. Hearing about all the ridiculous, unbelievable things so many celebrities do, and watching them self-destruct before my eyes in the name of fame, well, it's enough to make me want to move to Antarctica. But from all their mistakes come some valuable lessons. For instance, drugs do not solve problems. Neither does plastic surgery or any amount of fakeifying yourself or attempt to escape life by some other means instead of facing it. 2, I don't need gigantic jewels and a mansion the size of Texas to be content with my life. 3, the more I focus on my flaws, the more others will notice them. And the more I focus on the good things about me, the more others will see them too. 4, you only live once, or YOLO, is not about partying all night, committing crimes, and screwing up your life. It's about doing the things that count for yourself and others. 5, beauty is universal. The only thing that is truly ugly is hate. 6, I need to treat myself the way I want others to treat me, with respect. And if I don't want my body to be treated as an object, rolling around naked on the floor licking hammers won't help. And lastly, though it is kind of cliche, all I have to be is myself and find my own meaning. The voice of an individual speaking their own truth is louder than all the people in the world just shouting what everyone else is already saying.
Now we have a little time if any of you have questions for any of these three young ladies. And I'm not going to make them come stand up here and wait for your questions because they'll hate me forever.
I just have a comment. I hope you three understand how much wisdom you all have. Beautiful thing was. Yeah.
And mine's just a comment too. Thank you, because you give us pause to think as well. So.
Good to know that Miley Cyrus is not or their role model, obviously.
Actually, the general opinion in most of my classes right now is just that Justin Bieber should be deported and that Miley Cyrus must have some sort of mental illness. I mean, people actually, in the high school at least, I don't hear anybody say, wow, they're cool. They just think they're stupid, which I find very encouraging. Yeah, Carol.
I've been out of high school a bit. maybe 35 years or so. But I'd like to know if the senior high is a safe place to learn and grow. You know, I mean, we hear about all the problems with drugs and guns and bullying and that kind of thing. But what's the flip side? What's good about our local high school?
And here, I'll say, Oscar, feel free to chime in, because you go to the high school too. Anybody want to tackle that one?
I guess the thing is, you might hear about the bad stuff all the time, but they never really talk about the good stuff, mm-hmm. which is every day we go to school and we learn about new things that we've never heard about before. We get to sit with our friends and we just get to have a great experience that will last forever in our life.
Is there one of those benches? Is that the friend bench? Or if you feel like you're being bullied, schools aren't doing it. Maybe it's middle school. They're putting benches. I don't know what they call it. They call them friend benches. They're the place you can, if you feel like you need a friend, you go sit on this bench and someone will come and be your friend.
Oh.
It's, I guess it's more of a middle school thing, but I don't know if Winona Middle School has that. But I've seen it on the internet, of course.
Any of the rest of you want to comment about the Carol's question about school?
I think, like, I'm a really social person, and personally I haven't seen a lot of, like, mean things going on or anything, and just even the hall, people are smiling at you, and it can make your day, like, there's a lot of nice people and everything.
I'd say it partly depends on, like, who you are. Your experience will be completely different depending on, like, a lot of things, but I think, obviously there is a lot wrong with the high school, but there are also a lot of good things too, like some of you have probably seen all the coverage of Laura Hill for the Teacher of the Year, and there's just a lot being done to kind of fight against all the things that are wrong, and there are truly some people who really care, and even like despite all the bad things, it's, you know, the high school experience is so much better than it was like years ago. And people are just becoming more aware and trying to help, so.
Of course, I must point out, because I teach there, it's a lot easier to focus on the negative things and the sensational things than on just people who go every day and try to make the world a better place, from the students all the way through. I mean, they're idiots there, and they're really kind, good people, too, you know?
Well, actually, what I'm thinking about, my daughter is 29, and when she was in middle school, she came home one day and she said, told me that the number one rule for being in middle school was never be alone. That she felt so unsafe that about being bullied and attacked in the old middle school. And it was just alarming to me. And I also talked with her one day about games. And she said, well, which one? The east side, the west side, the Bloods, or the Crips? And I about fell off my chair.
In Winona?
In Winona, right. And then she told me she had seen guns in school. I mean, it was just outrageous. She left the public school system and went to Cotter, which in itself was a whole nother challenge because we were not Catholic. So, you know, she just had she was bullied in school a lot. I had a lot of contact with administrators, and I'm hoping all of those things have improved because it was really difficult for her.
Well, I can definitely say that if a student has a feeling that he or she needs some support, that there are multiple ways of getting that support in my building. You know, I mean, there are teachers, there are other students, there's the counseling office, there's the regular office. I mean, and we have these wonderful safety specialists who are, I mean, technically they're security guards, but nobody thinks of them that way. They're these good guys who help you when your locker won't work, you know, and they're very, very kind. So, you know, from my perspective, I mean, there's still bullying, and I wish there weren't, but I really feel like there are a lot of places where kids can go if that's happening to them, so they don't have to just feel like they're under threat all the time.
Good.
Anybody else? Any more comments about that? Oscar, do you have anything?
I'd say the middle school... I'd say it's people were more disrespectful in middle school than high school because they've grown up and they've learned to kind of keep to themselves. I think it still goes on, but middle school is a lot more, people were a lot meaner to each other.
Yeah, well, my son was actually attacked in middle school, but he was one of those kids who was vulnerable. When you're a vulnerable person, people find you. Mm. And we actually had to bring charges when Chris was, I think it was
8th grade.
Yeah. Jim?
Well, I had a question actually for the three. It was very interesting to me that none of them had a wise person, like an author, that was interesting. That was family and people they knew. And I don't know what to make of that exactly, but it's an interesting observation that wisdom does not seem to be from the top down for this generation.
I think it's kind of a different sort of wisdom, to have someone close to you who experienced. No, like wise from experience and can communicate their wisdom to you rather than someone in a book or someone who's not even alive anymore. It's like a different sort of wisdom. And I think even though there are a lot of people who are really wise and have, written really wise books and things, I don't really want to go into this, but I think it's just a different kind of wisdom, I guess.
I think some of these kids were very lucky in their choice of parents. Because when the people I dealt with when I was teaching didn't have that support of parents, and
Boy, when you don't, you really are blowing in the wind.
It's true. Go, Mama.
Well, I guess to add on to Pippa, it's not that authors and such aren't wise, it's just that you really can see the wisdom in people when you are close to them.
That puts a lot of pressure on us.
Well, to put it in brain growth development, relationships is what's most important to kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what's good is if you can build those good relationships.
Sometimes
it's the little things that add up, and you see those little things every day. So I see how Paul is wise with Lily. I mean, he's a master of little kids, you know, and I don't want to say manipulative, but he's very skilled at it. He's very wise in how to deal with it. So I don't know that you'd get that in a book. You know, somebody might say something very wise, but it's those little things that, okay, she's having a meltdown, and he knows how to handle that, and he's wise in that situation. And those are the wisdom things that often stick with us. Especially in writing, something could be fabricated. Who knows?
Yeah, or sometimes you find out someone who you admire, you find out later they were like Lindbergh. He had another family in Europe that his wife didn't know about. I mean, here's this hero, American hero, so at least in your own family you can know those things.
Any last comments or questions about who has been wise? I'll also open it up for anybody here today who has suddenly had a thought like, oh, this person is wise for me. Anybody having that kind of a thought right now?
Yeah, I'm thinking about a guy that went to high school with, who's a year, who's actually my age, but after we were grown and, you know, approaching our 40s, I was reacting to all these things and not sure how to proceed. And here's this guy that I always thought was kind of simple, he's able to be in any situation and not react to the emotions that are going on and not react to our turbulence and just look at it and be able to say, you know,
I was just thinking about that too, and what we've just been saying here. I think that children force us to be wise. In other words, I don't know if I'd be wise. I don't know if I'd be feeling like I had any wisdom if I didn't have responsibilities to live up to. So I think it's kind of it's relational, like you say.
Go ahead, Pippa.
Kind of going off of that, I think that's partly what's important about parent-child relationships is they each give each other wisdom. Like the children have, you know, the innocent sense of the world and they can just appreciate everything, and then adults kind of give them knowledge about the world and they kind of teach each other how to be, you know? So it's shared wisdom.
I wouldn't even just say parent child, but even siblings really share a lot of relationships and memories and experiences.
And I think too, from my perspective as an educator, I know that a lot of my students don't have. I mean, I know some of my students go home and their dad is busy playing a video game and completely ignores them. Or their mom is working because she has to work, and so she cannot be home to make dinner for that kid or read a story to that kid. That stuff is happening. So, you know, when I make sure that I greet every kid by name and I ask how, you know, compliment them on their shoes or whatever, that relationship piece, that's not wisdom. That's just a little bond that maybe will help them. I don't know. But I'm very, very happy that I can do that.
you know, and by doing that, show them. There are people out there who will look at you and pay attention to you, and maybe that's enough, you know, to go on. Well, thank you, all of you, and especially thanks to Emma, Donna, and Pippa. And now we are going to sing again. Number 158 in your hymnal, Stand in Body or Spirit, please. Meditation. Thank you. Another answer to the question, who has been wise for me, has always been poets. I love the way poetry takes all the complications of life and distills it into something beautiful and small, like a flower or a jewel. And I receive every day a poem a day from the National Poetry Foundation. And this was the poem that arrived on my email doorstep this morning, and it was just perfect for this day on which these young women were going to speak to us. It's called A Noiseless Patient Spider, and it was written by Walt Whitman. A noiseless patient spider. I marked where on a little promontory it stood isolated, marked how to explore the vacant, vast surrounding. It launched forth filament, filament, filament out of itself, ever unreeling them, ever tirelessly speeding them. And you, oh my soul, where you stand, surrounded, detached, in measureless oceans of space, ceaselessly musing, venturing, throwing, seeking the spheres to connect them, till the bridge you will need be formed, till the ductile anchor hold, till the gossamer thread you fling catch somewhere, oh my soul. Go in peace.
Hey, Jim, who gets the bag? Is it a board Deb. Person? Deb?
Thank you, Laura.
Oh,
really nice. I was wondering what this would be like. And really, that image of the tall tree really is. It really shows when you have an image. We're so physical.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to connect.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm watching it by the way.
If you're interested in giving us quality and stuff, so we can do.